What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
Justice League details abound, yet even more Suicide Squad posters released, and BVS Ultimate Cut will be in theaters now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Go! Yes! Yes! Didn't know when that was gotten off.
Meanwhile, back in the Hall of Justice.
Yeah. Oh. Zachy Dubs on the ones and twos. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. What a huge week. Thank God the original Squizzod is back.
Squad deep, squad deep, squad deep,
what?
Squad deep, squad deep.
Can I ask? Why in all the squad hashtag and all that do they spell SKWAD? It doesn't save any letters. It's just, I know when they try and do, you know,
SKWAD, SQUAD.
Why do they
did
do
you
that?
Just employ your fingers to figure that out?
Well, I was thinking, I mean,
even if you needed to,
no, I agree.
To admit it in such a public forum is so bold.
But why do they do that? I don't get it. Is it a millennial thing?
Guys, first question for the chat roll, why the SKW when Mikey Christmas is perfectly happy with the QU making the qua sound?
Yes. SKW.
And
this
as
may trouble you.
Loquasto, as yo. Someone who's, you know, dressed ridiculously for the temperatures in California right now.
That's
I'm
right.
Sweating looking at you.
Thank you.
You're making it.
Do you enjoy the QU sound, or do you secretly wish it was a KW?
I like the KW. You mean in my name?
Yeah, you're going to change
it. If there was a KW in my name, it'd look even weirder. I'd be like, right. I'd become Croatian or something.
We're changing it.
Oh my God, Loquasto, that'd be
right?
Great.
Wouldn't that be weird? Let's get right
into
it.
I thought of that really quick.
Yo, this was a week with so much stuff dropping. I don't know if we're going to have
time
to do everything. It's like Mikey Christmas, because he's right here.
I can't believe we're all together.
I know.
It's a big week. We had
a long couple of weeks. I was on the East Coast. It's good to be back. I drove your three-year-old
hood. Out here in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
I was driving all around your neighborhood, kind of, sort of. Not quite in Boston, but I was all around the East Coast.
Oh,
that was fun. I tell them y'all said hi.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's get into it. We're at DC Movies SK. We're Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. That gentleman right there is the host of Man vs. Child on the FYI Network. Also FX Movie Download, and he's the worst mocker at Doghouse going across the country. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler, because he's Adam Gertler.
Hello, greetings. Hello, people of Earth. How are you?
We're doing good.
That was a Stern reference. Deep cut for anyone.
Deep cut.
Okay.
Deep cut. Next to Adam Gertler, she's the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show, also the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies. Find her on Twitter. And she's on The Tomorrow Show multiple times a week. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer, because she be Roxy Stryer.
Yes. She's a ninja.
Hi, guys. Missed you.
Everyone in chat roll is so confused. Like, why is Johnny dressed? Look, I could have more interest. I like sports, and it's the NBA draft tonight, guys. That's why I'm dressed like this. That's the answer.
Sports.
Speaking of sports, a guy that looks like a top-notch athlete.
Yeah, right.
He's an incredible actor, DC Encyclopedia, the host of Character Corner right here on Popcorn Talk Network. Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski, because he's Mike Kalinowski.
Yeah!
Man! What? It's like Mikey Christmas week this week. It's like,
yeah, so much.
I don't know. There's just so
what
much.
What do you mean?
Just everything. Just this. We'll get into it. But the news, rebirth that's been going on every week. Mm-hmm. It's like a, like, I just feel.
Like, you think you did this, though? Because it's Mikey Christmas week?
No, I feel like it's Christmas again.
Yeah.
It's Christmas in June.
It's just
for
his
me.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like.
It's the time of year when he's happiest. And all this, these recent developments have made him as happy
Thank
as
you.
A Mikey
like
in Christmas.
Tuesday morning, man. That was like Christmas morning with all those presents that we got to open up and talk about.
Our group chat.
I agree with the Neon Empire. What's a sports? I read comic books.
I know.
And ate craft singles.
They kick the things through the hoops and the ball.
The reason why, no matter what I was doing today, I was wearing this. And as soon as we finished, the NBA draft actually begins. So I'm going to jump right up there and watch it. That's why I'm dressed like
this. Hey, that's your thing, Jared. That's your thing.
It's one of my things.
It's this thing.
What is all our thing is just.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Details. Holy smokes. There were set visits. There were a whole bunch of things we found out this week. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about them right now.
Where to begin? How do we begin with this?
I just want to say, just overall about all this thing, are you guys surprised at how much and how much plot and scene description like that Warner Brothers was cool with letting out? Or do you think that they made a really careful decision that this is what they were going to do and this is what they needed to do?
I think it was calculated and smart.
Yeah, what you're saying, like for people that don't know, this week DC invited journalists who were pretty terrible to Batman vs. Superman.
Not exclusively, but including.
Yeah, it almost seems like the stories that I read were like, I bashed that movie, but they invited me, so I'm going.
But not everybody that was invited was a basher.
As a press junket.
Yeah, it was a press junket, but they wanted, I think they particularly reached out to people with big influence that were very harsh on the film because they wanted to let people know that basically, that they heard the feedback and they weren't like sticking their heads in the sand and saying, well, we're just going to keep going. Yep. They were basically saying, like, hey, guys, we're making adjustments based on our plan. We're still making the movie we're going to make, but here are a few things that are different. But how transparent they were is where I'm really shocked.
It shows confidence, number one. And apparently, you sent us a great article this week about, I forget what the guy's name is, but he was very anti-DC.
Devin Faraci. Yeah.
Birth, movies, death.
And so explain to us, you know, he did the set visit, and afterwards, he actually was incredibly positive.
Well, the thing is, too, these set visits, they do them all the time, but they sign NDAs, and then they say, this is embargoed
until the week before
the movie comes
out. Yeah, long time.
By then, all the information you know, so you're just kind of like, these set visits, I usually do not read these when they come out for normal movies, but this movie, Tuesday morning, just going through it, the amount that they let them tell, two scenes they completely talked about.
Yeah.
I think, Roxy, I agree with you. I think it's a calculated move. They know, hey, we've got to get in front of this. We've got to get the fans back.
This is exactly, guys. Mm-hmm. This is a PR term known as getting in front of this. Yeah. Meaning, like, you don't want to appear reactionary. It is reactionary, but you want to let people know, hey, we've heard it, but giving specific examples.
Oh, my God. Scenes
and some
showing.
Descriptions. Yeah. I mean, like, across the board, like, the talk about Gordon, the talk about the Wayne Tech, the scene between Barry and Bruce, the scene on the rooftop with Gordon. Like,
right, and even the things that we thought, but we weren't exactly positive on, like, I don't know, Batman and Diana Prince teaming up in this, or what was going to happen there, and how they're going to get Superman back. They gave a lot of details, some stuff that we had already predicted, but I think it was really important for us to hear from these people.
And look, if anyone does speak negatively about Justice League, J.K. Simmons can kick the crap out of him now.
What's
up, guns?
That might have been some of my favorite details was when, I think it was Faraci or maybe it was Frosty at Collider who was describing that the Gordon, J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon looked like a cosplay Commissioner Gordon, trench coat, mustache. Like, it was such a spot-on Gordon.
But not in a cosplay in a bad way.
No. In a good way. In that, like, if you take a character like Commissioner Gordon who does not have a colorful costume.
Right,
And you were going to, you know, to be able to identify it.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that really made me excited. That classic rooftop scene, but it's not just Batman and Gordon. It's Batman with some of his new friends.
And the fact that, like, they're saying he doesn't look huge in his outfit. He's trench coat. You can't tell he looked that jacked.
Yeah.
So it's like people were worrying about that. I love the fact that they're saying that Batman has humor in it, where he says, yeah, he's like, these are the bad guys, you know, they're flying monkeys. It's their henchmen. Like, that's just deadpan Batman.
It also sounds like, exactly. It's not a question of, like, it's that wry... a lot of people compare it to Batman the Animated Series. Like, hey, he says a funny, but it's not like intended for a punchline. Like it's got, it's sardonic. There's a note of space.
Almost. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say he, you know, like they said, like, you know, you have Barry Allen's character seems like he's going to be more humorous, young, that free flowing, kind of like almost like how Spider-Man was used in Civil War. Just like so excited. Just kind of like they said, like, he's like, yeah, I need friends.
Well, they also revealed Batman's going to be a mentor to Barry Allen in the film. And if the Flash is going to be, not, I don't want to say a comic relief, but kind of like a punk kid in a way.
Yeah, I mean, you've got these adults, these grown men, and there's this kid who's just like, you know, happy to be a part of it. It's like
fast. And Cyborg. Yeah. And one thing that wasn't talked about, there was no mention of Momoa in the whole set visit. There was really not a lot. There was mention of...
Well, there was mention of the Atlanteans, but not...
Yes, oh, big mention of the Atlanteans.
But not of Momoa.
Mention of Emberhead. I think it was, again, if you guys...
I was driving in my rental car last week and started cracking up when I heard you say that.
If you guys didn't listen to Collider Heroes yesterday, Frosty was actually on there and gave the real play-by-play.
Oh.
And he did say that he asked Deborah Snyder directly, and, you know, she's probably not going to say no because it would be a major story, but he said, is Amber Heard still in this film? Is she still playing Mira? And she said yes.
Okay.
Now...
What would be the reason behind taking her out, though?
Just her whole, you know,
just a lot of drama. Life.
That's a lot of drama going on.
Just a lot of drama going on.
JD stuff,
but none of it was her fault.
Well, I mean, no one. You don't know.
We don't know. We're not getting involved.
You don't know whose fault is what.
I mean, there's no reason to ever get violent with a woman, though.
But you don't know that there was any violence with a woman.
It's all hearsay.
It's all hearsay. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because if it's not true, then it doesn't look good for her, and then it doesn't reflect well on the film.
Good point.
I mean, if it's proven true, you're right. Absolutely, did nothing wrong.
But
look, it makes sense. You're right. There's no reason she should be taken out of the film, but you wonder, like, a film that's already getting all this bad publicity, and then there's this, you know, actress who's getting a lot of publicity, but none of it for acting.
Right.
It doesn't look great on a project. But,
and then you've got Mikey Christmas giving her nicknames like Amber Head, and then probably that's really why they pulled her.
I don't know.
Apparently she was seen getting back from London today.
Getting back from London today.
Yeah.
A lot so she went over and had that fitting.
A lot of stuff that from the thing that came out was, one, they've only been filming for like 30 days. They started April 11th.
Yeah.
But here we are. So they've had the days off, but I didn't realize how much more filming they have to go on this.
They said it was going to be over 100 days.
111 days,
111 day shoot, which is a huge movie.
I love the fact that he's got what is called the Nightcrawler, is this tank vehicle, and then he's got the Flying Fox, which is the transport, which fits the Batmobile and the Justice League.
And they're saying Gordon might actually be the gunner, a tail gunner for that.
That's Gordon?
Who's saying that? I saw that one of the articles we...
Oh, wow. Because I had heard Alfred.
Oh, that's exactly...
Is that what you meant? Okay.
That's what I see.
Yeah, Alfred's more in the... So what do you guys think of that? I saw on Twitter today, somebody pointed out a Batman reference from a story. Was it called The Cult? Where this spider-like vehicle was actually in it?
He's always had... He always has tons of vehicles. I love the fact that he operates out of an old submarine hangar underneath Gotham Harbor. That's where he stores all his big vehicles. I love that. There's just this feel of, like, embracing the comic book.
It's hard not to make the comparison with Tony Stark in the films, but, like, much like he kind of bankrolls a lot of the Avengers stuff, it looks like Batman's recruiting the people to his team, and he's basically putting up the Wayne fortune to provide a lot of the toys and the Flash stuff.
Oh, that he makes the suit. But the fact that his original suit is pieced together from, like, space tech because it's used for heat reentry, that's smart to me. I just love that thought going into it, but...
What about the idea that, like, the Flash's original suit and everything is all built around this idea that if he runs basically in just his regular clothes, he just burns up everything.
Which would happen.
And so, initially...
Wayne Tech.
That's what happened on the show. The TV show, too.
They describe that he breaks into NASA, or he gets, like, a lot of this NASA tech, uses 3D printers to kind of come up with a costume that can deal with the friction and the heat.
Did you see where he said there's wires that go between it so that he can throw lightning by conducting through the wires out through his body. I was like, that's smart.
Yeah, Roxy, since you're the biggest TV fan, and I've always been a big proponent that, no, you don't want to mix the TV Flash and the movies, because I just think it would look ridiculous going from TV to movies and then back to TV. I just think you know, the effects, the size, everything. Does hearing any of this stuff, first of all, have you heard all the descriptions of all the Flash stuff, including like the scene between Wayne and Bruce? when like Wayne kind of, I mean, Wayne and Barry, when Wayne recruits Barry, and also on the rooftop scene, does any of this sort of like allay your fears and kind of make you think, all right, they're going in enough of a different direction that you're okay with a different Flash, a different Barry?
What I'm happy about this time is they've said we're going in a different direction, and then they've showed something that would be a different direction, as opposed to last time when they said we were going in a different direction and showed like artwork of what the costume might look like, and it looked pretty damn similar to what it was they were doing before. Or they would write a description and they would say, this is what Barry Allen's going to be like in the movies. He's very different than Barry Allen in the TV show. And it'd be like, he's fun loving. He's mm-hmm. all the things that Barry is in the TV show. So this was the first time they've said he's actually going to be different. And I'm like, oh, that is a different. So I was excited about that.
They described a scene where Bruce Wayne is confronting Barry Allen, and he knows there's something about him.
Apartment when he gets there,
right? And he's sitting in his apartment doing a classic like
he's sitting in a chair.
Oh, he's Batman. He's actually as Batman.
I think he's Bruce. No, he's Bruce Wayne.
Oh, is he Bruce?
Yeah, I thought he revealed the batarang himself.
At him. Okay, that's right. So he's Bruce, and right, and Barry Allen's denying it.
Yeah,
and then he throws.
He's like, yeah, he's just a good-looking Jewish kid.
Yeah,
right. I don't like milk. I think that's hysterical.
That sounded like good stuff. And then like also the throwing of the batarang. So
but the fact that he describes like everything slows down. He catches it, looks at it, then it speeds back up.
Yeah, like, and I like the way Affleck was talking about Ezra in the film.
You must have also liked the way Affleck ranted about Tom Brady last night on HBO after a couple of drinks.
Any given Wednesday.
Wow.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Oh, he just went off, cussed his brains out. I think he had a couple of drinks in him, but it was...
He talked about Batman, too. He talked about getting his role. Yeah.
But what made... headlines was him.
Was he one of the first guests on any given Wednesday?
He was one of the first two.
Debut, yeah.
Oh, cool.
He was ranting about Tom Brady.
Is this sports?
Yeah, just saying.
I don't know sports.
It's not.
She loves Tom Brady. She loves Ben Affleck. There you go.
Okay, so.
Hey, we haven't talked about the villain yet.
Well, before that, I just want to, while we're on Flash stuff specifically, do you think that description of how he slows down time is going to be too similar to how they use Quicksilver in the X-Men films? And is that a bad thing?
They're in a pickle because you got Quicksilver. I mean, who would have ever guessed that the Fox's Quicksilver would have been better than the Avengers, Marvel's Quicksilver? They embarrassed him in that Avengers film with what, you know, Evan Peters, and they did.
I love him so much.
So the Flash TV show does it great. They don't do too much of the slow-mo on the TV show, do they? Where he's normal and the world just kind of slow around him?
It's happened about like three or four times, and that's
so
it.
So that's not their thing. So they need to do something different for the movie.
Yeah.
But still, I do like the idea of like seeing how someone that moves that quickly, how they have to perceive everything else moving that slow. Otherwise, you know, how you could move really quickly, but unless you can react and perceive quickly, then it doesn't do you any good. Because you can't, your reaction time, you know, you just like crash into shit.
Let me put this out to you guys, because you two on the panel were not fans of BVS. Not the alternate cut.
No, I came out, I would say, on a less than,
So, after this, reading all this stuff that came out Tuesday morning, I just felt so good because I'm all involved with the Rebirth, the comics right now, and you read them. It's just like a different feel for DC comics right now.
Listen,
and this
going back over the past couple of weeks, as we started to get like different news about just news in general about who was producing what, how they were kind of going to be moving forward with DC films, where Geoff Johns was going to be, hearing Ben Affleck named as an executive producer. These weren't bad things to hear. They were good things.
Bad things?
They were not bad things to hear. They were bad
things
to hear.
Your shirt is a bad thing.
And this, you know, look, all this news, is it proof that this film is going to be great? Absolutely not. But is it enough to get a lot of people, myself included, who were kind of... I even said last week on the show, I'm more excited about Aquaman than Justice League. And I can carefully say that that's no longer the case.
Okay. Right. And plus the fact
in that regard, it was effective.
We go from having a Justice League 1 and 2 guaranteed to where now apparently it's a standalone.
Oh, I think for sure Zack Snyder's not directing Justice League 2.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. I just want to ask you guys, because they've come out and said two different things that I think is great and that people that don't like BVS should... talk about is the fact that both Superman and Batman, they've all come as like he is now in a place to be the Batman that everyone wanted him to be, the no killing. And that BVS, we needed that. Like,
I just think that it was, I get what they were doing, and now this is actually, I'm excited to go see the Ultimate Cut next Monday. I just think it was a weird place to start Batman
and
Superman.
Right.
And I think that is part of the thing, is like, if you had a couple of movies with these guys, and then you're like, what is wrong with this guy now? Why is he this other guy?
Yeah.
That was the introduction. So for us as longtime fans, we were just like, that's not, he's not really...
But we didn't see that 20 years. We don't know that.
That's what I mean. And I think that's why it wasn't a great choice to start with him in this dark place.
But how many times have we seen...
I think you guys are saying the same thing. He's saying we didn't see that 20 years, and you're saying we didn't see that 20 years.
No, but you're right. How many times have we seen the other? But because it's a it's not the same continuity.
So then what do you guys think of Snyder with him saying to Superman, he's like, I wanted to get him to the Superman that everyone loves, but I had to put him through stuff to earn that and get there.
The great quote that I loved, again, I think this was Frosty, Deborah Snyder's quote,
people don't like their superheroes deconstructed.
And I thought, is that a fact or just that this deconstruction was not a great example? And I think
they just don't like it.
When
your ice cream that you love is messed with, people don't like it.
Exactly. So I thought, I obviously, you guys know I'm big into food, right? So when they deconstruct a thing, it's great. It's inventive. You know, when you show me like something that looks like an olive, but it's really like shaped like caviar and it tastes like an olive, like it's clever, but does it replace the original thing that I love? Like this tastes like ice cream, but it's really like a powder that you have to like inhale and then you have to crack something else and then it feels cold.
So you mean cocaine?
Yeah, exactly. But you're doing a bunch of cocaine. You're doing blow instead of ice cream.
It's not quite as good. Ice cream.
I got off the rails here. I'm really bad with my metaphors.
They're both dessert for something.
But I think you're right. I think the essence of the character is what we were not getting, what a lot of people didn't get. And yeah, you're right. It's going to mean more to get back to that character now.
And there was no talk of Superman in this. Deborah Snyder did say you can't have a Justice League movie without Superman. Yeah. So he's in it.
And in that regard,
but that's kind of the secret.
Mike, he's dead and you know it.
Yeah,
you saw BBS.
I did.
True. Come on.
It looks like he's not coming back until the end of this movie.
I think we're going to get that Superman that smiles and happy. And I think
how badass would it be if he never even like dons his new costume or original costume till the end? If he's just in like that black
regeneration suit.
Hey, it'd be great.
Yeah. No, what do you think about the... what's that?
I know where you're going to go.
What, the theories about the resurrection theories about Superman?
No. I have no idea how to do
it. I heard some great theories that people were suggesting, like, he has the Codex in him, right? All the Kryptonian DNA.
Yeah. These are theories from people who went to the...
No, just like that I've been hearing, like, online, I think, you know, and on different podcasts. And also the notion that, like, just, you know, that's maybe how Lex Luthor is going to be used, that they actually have to go to Lex Luthor to use that regeneration chamber that was on the Kryptonian ship. A la Doomsday, but then how do you get a non-Doomsday?
I think Batman and all of them, Superman's done. I think he's going to be surprised them.
What?
Batman, I don't think they're ever going to try and revive Superman. Batman, Wonder Woman, I don't think they're going to go, hey, is there a way we can bring him back?
The Justice League isn't trying to get Superman back alive.
He will show up and surprise them.
Exactly.
Maybe at the moment when they need someone to help
after
them.
After they get their asses kicked by Steppenwolf
or
whoever.
And there he is in like a bright blue costume, hair maybe a little longer, maybe a
beard.
They
wouldn't be under the impression that they could revive him.
Right.
It's not that they're willing.
They have no clue.
Cal L. Fan 49 just pointed out that Snyder was pretty humble taking all the criticism. I just want to say that, like, I know that he's had a couple of months now to regroup and everyone to see, like, how they were going to react. It was just good to hear the reaction that he was open and say, like, yeah, it kind of hurt, you know, like... Seeing that reaction, obviously the guy wanted to make a great movie, and he was butthurt, but, you know, got to give the guy props
pride.
To move
he
forward,
his pride.
take all this, and then and say, like, hey, I'm still on the set, still making the movie, here's Ben Affleck, here's Jeff Johns, here's all these people, you know, I got to give the guy credit, and it makes me hate him a little bit less.
Let's talk about, you guys were going into it, about how they said this was always going to be... A move, Justice League. That's it. There was never one and two.
Yeah.
Do we think this goes back to that slate pissing contest between Marvel and DC, where they're like, we're going to claim this date, this date, this date, this date, and just put names on them? Because even Marvel has said now it's not Infinity War 1 and 2; it's Avengers 3 now.
Yeah.
I it just feels to me, and because they've always said it, it's like they always said BVS was Empire. It always seems like this is going to be a trilogy. Like League will end. They're in a good place.
I think the slate and it was just all the heads were not really in a row yet.
Right.
And they were being proactive. Right. And they had a stake of flags. And if you're asking me if that's disappointing or not, absolutely not.
No.
I'd much rather get the plan together rather than say, but hey, you said I was going to get this movie on this date. Like, I don't really care.
No.
But yeah, the nature of tentpole filmmaking these days is such that people have to claim dates.
Right.
And unfortunately, DC has had to back off dates already, and they still might have to because
and
I think Wonder Woman right now is still going head-to-head against the Transformers 5. Is that a fact? I think that still might be the case.
They're still filming. They just started filming like last week. I think. I don't think.
Was it Wonder Woman?
Hey guys, we got a lot to get through. We still haven't even talked about Steppenwolf yet.
Okay, so confirmation that Steppenwolf is a favorite is going to be a villain. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? I don't know Steppenwolf really.
You should watch the character corner.
Yeah.
Mike Kalinowski.
Well, why am I going to? I got him right here. Tell me a little bit.
He is
the man. So I have a question. So that deleted scene in BVS that was super creepy.
Who I originally thought was Darkseid's dad.
Right. But to me, it kind of resembles
his general.
Yeah, it does.
General in the army.
That guy kind of resembled what Steppenwolf would be, don't you think?
He looked a lot like him, but it just didn't. I haven't even seen the movie, so I don't know what he's being said there.
Well, tell me what you think was happening in that deleted scene that maybe would make sense for Justice League.
Him getting a history lesson with
who's him?
Lex. When he finds out, because there's so much that we miss in there. Like, how did he know to bring Zod's body in there? I think, like in Man of Steel, when they showed that whole, history of Krypton, I think he was finding out the history of all these gods, because that's at the end where he's going, the bell's been rung, they've heard.
Yes.
People were thinking, I remember walking out there, like, oh, they're talking about Suicide Squad and the villains. Like, no, that's the gods, that's Apocalypse, that's Darkseid. They've heard, oh, Superman, a god can be killed, we're coming to this planet, we're going there. Like, that was the ring out. What's the movie I'm talking, maybe it's in the comics in the movie where it's like, they talk about how, is Earth, we've kind of announced ourselves to the other galaxies out there. Like, everyone leaves us alone because we're this backwater planet.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Star Trek, I think it was, where they said, but once they created something, then all those other worlds were like, oh, Earth is finally intelligent enough. Oh, okay, now we can deal with them. That thing, right. Apocalypse, we were nothing to them. But now the fact that we've got gods and these powerful beings, it's like, okay, oh, this might be a planet.
Zach in the booth is telling us that Wonder Woman is on June 2nd,
2017,
and Transformers is on 6/23, and Bad Boys 3 is on 6/23.
Bad Boys, so that's going to move.
I don't think,
not even filming.
I was going to say, shouldn't Bad Boys be retired from the precinct at this point?
That's not even
coming back. How many years on the force do they have?
Hey, Beverly Hills Cop is coming back. They're coming back, too.
Going back to Adam's question to you, though, because you were talking about Steppenwolf, and obviously people can go watch your character corner for a longer version, but for an abridged version.
He is a general of Darkseid's. He's always been kind of like... Darkseid is kind of like just would sit back and let his people go and do, and then he'll kind of come in and march in. Steppenwolf was kind of like, I remember from the Superpowers cartoon, so there's always been different versions of him. What I love, and people are having a problem, like, oh, you're Justice League movie, and you're doing a second string character. Right. It's like, you don't throw Darkseid in there your first time out.
That's my question. Definitely is, wouldn't that guarantee us a Justice League 2?
Yes. It's what Marvel's doing with Thanos. Thanos is their big bad. Darkseid will destroy Thanos as far as power and as far as history, so you don't throw it out in your first movie.
I think the idea of building the escalating the threat, it's like Steppenwolf is going to be a threat that possibly defeats the first incarnation of the Justice League.
Right.
Then they bring in Superman, they just get past Steppenwolf, but through all this, they're going to become aware of this bigger threat of Darkseid on Apocalypse, and then in the future, and by the way, I'm glad we're not getting Green Lanterns in this film. It sounds like they're really slow. There's a lot to do in this film.
You need the Lantern Corps when Darkseid gets involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, let's slow down.
You got to get the whole troop in.
See, to me, it's like, you hear these people talk, like, I want a Darkseid.
What about this? What do you guys think? I'm really curious. Do you think that we're going to get another Batman solo and a Superman solo movie before Justice League 2?
No, I don't.
Because I feel like we might get a Superman 2. If they just bring Superman back at the end.
Let me say this.
Okay.
If we get the Superman that everyone wanted... The happy, people fall in love with him.
Incredible Hulk and Avengers again to compare the way that Incredible Hulk third film appearance. My favorite character growing up, by the way, I probably have more issues of Incredible Hulk than any other thing. Right, going back to that days. So now everybody loves the way that Avengers, used Hulk and Feige and everyone, partially because of the way that Universal controls some of the distribution.
Yeah, that's so weird.
They've held him back. Do you think because of Superman's power set that they're gonna just keep using Superman in smaller doses, or if he's really popular in Justice League, will they then say, now we got to get another Superman movie to deal with Superman dealing with himself in this world?
We know for a fact that dates aren't set in stone, so...
I don't think so.
If we get the Superman that we want, that everyone wants...
I don't think we're going to do that. I don't think we're going to do that.
You don't think they're going to do what?
I don't think we're going to get the Superman that everybody wants. I don't think we're going to get a Superman that people fall in love with.
So what do you think we're going to get?
I think we're going to get the same Superman that we've seen. And I think he's
But that
be
goes in. Against everything that they've just told
Is that due to Cavill's it
does.
Skills?
It does. Roxy? Yeah, yes, exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Okay. What have you seen Cavill in besides these movies?
Based on Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Which he's great in. Charismatic.
Didn't love him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't love him.
Okay.
I don't love his performances. I just don't love his performances. So what they want us to believe, you can't fall in love with an actor that can't make you fall in love with him. No matter how good the direction is, no matter what the lines are. Maybe I'm dead wrong about him. Maybe I haven't seen him in enough things to know. And maybe he is charismatic and charming. But I don't think they're going to give us that version because I don't know if he's capable of providing that for us. And if they don't do that and we have a Superman 2, I'm out on that.
Yeah, well, all right, fair enough. I mean, I guess what I'm hoping is that they use the regeneration to kind of give a little bit more of the character they wanted. Because I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I don't really have the problem with Cavill. I think it's the way it was directed and the direction that they chose to go that I have. That's where I have the problem with his characterization. I don't think that a different actor would have made me like that person more necessarily.
Maybe
I don't know that.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm pinning it on the wrong things, but from what I've seen so far.
But also just the size of the films.
But a standalone Batman, absolutely.
Sure. The size of the films makes me doubt whether they will be able, because, you know, this is coming out in 2017. Right. If you have a Batman standalone film, let's say that they can figure out a way for it to come out in 2018, and then Superman comes out in 2019, then are you okay with Justice League 2 not going till 2020?
Sidebar real quick that you said Batman solo film. They have a script, and Affleck had said, he's like, we're not happy with it.
That for a little bit. He didn't say he's not happy with it. He said it's not ready yet.
And he's like, we're not making it till I'm happy with it. So it's going. So they're... Now, I love that.
These are interesting comments that I think some people have interpreted differently than I would. Okay. In that... He said that he's not happy with the script. He said, I've made films where the scripts weren't ready yet, and we've seen that turns out. Yeah. I've heard some people say that he was referring to BVS. I don't think he was throwing shade at BVS.
No.
I think he's referring to his own career.
Yes.
If you look at Ben Affleck, few actors have been raked through the mud as much as this
raked
guy.
Over the coals.
Did you guys see him on Any Given Wednesday where he basically says, like, they say no actor has ever had a comeback like he has. This is the most incredible actor comeback that has ever happened, and it almost slaughtered him.
Better than John Travolta's?
Well, that's
what
they said.
No, because John Travolta's didn't last.
Okay. But after
John Travolta's lasted for a film and a half.
I still think John Travolta's got it.
What's that?
I still think he's got
it. You're missing my pun.
It's
a Benaissance.
Swordfish. Oh, it's a
Benaissance.
I like the Benaissance.
As a director, Travolta didn't even go into those waters. Affleck as a director is phenomenal.
Okay. Before we move on.
Okay.
Because we had a lot more to talk about.
A lot more.
Including so much TV. I think it's time. We also, we can't brush over the fact there's a brand new synopsis for Justice League. So I think we should all share that with the world.
Right? Okay, Johnny.
Hit the music, please.
Fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally, Diana Prince, to face an even greater enemy. Together, Batman and Wonder Woman will work quickly to find and recruit a team of metahumans to stand against this newly awakened threat. But despite the formation of this unprecedented League of Heroes, it may already be too late to save the planet from an assault of catastrophic proportions. Justice League.
How could I not say Bruce Wayne?
Bruce Wayne and Amberhead.
Oh, Bruce. Yeah. It just seems so much like the New 52's Justice League movie. First issue, six issues, that were them coming together to fight the parademons and all that. And I think it's such a great
concept.
I think it's fantastic. I was reading all these set reports. I'm like, it just feels like a comic book movie. It just feels, you know, it feels grand. And the fact that they're all in the, like, did you read how they're on the roof of Gotham and Cyborg shows up and one of them just gives him a nod, like a smile, like maybe they tried to recruit him, but he didn't want to help.
Oh, right.
And now
then
his dad is the one caught. Because they talk about the scientists and Wonder Woman. It's those little interactions to me that I love. And I think, you know.
So, to talk about Cyborg a little bit. Now, we've heard something about the mother boxes.
Yep.
We've heard that we're going to get sort of. Now, this is kind of cool because
the prologue, right?
To me, it kind of sounds like, to quote Game of Thrones, we're going to get a little bit of the old gods and the new.
Right.
In that, we're going to get something with Zeus. With classic Greek mythology blending, and that's going to somehow segue into these new gods.
Atalan, who's the Atlantean god, Atalan, who's, I guess, the Game of Thrones actor is playing it.
I think that was just debunked. I heard that it was, like, taken out, like, the guy that played Tormu, the redhead dude. who's awesome.
That would have been cool.
So, okay, but, so three mother boxes.
Because we've got the Amazonians, we've got the Atlanteans, and we've got mankind, which I thought that they did a really good job describing this, actually, with the mother boxes, and I love where they're going with all of this. It made me really into it. Like, I thought it was great.
And
it also did a character corner on mother boxes.
I did.
So you and now, who's the Willem Dafoe character?
Volko!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scoop! Confirmed!
That was good. So, when I read that...
You were so on point with that.
Scoop! When I read that...
Confirmed.
Do you think...
Yes, it was trusted advisor.
That this is going to be like Volko recounting the tale, like kind of his voiceover, because like Willem Dafoe is a pretty great
and the
voiceover.
Fact that in the BVS Ultimate Cut, Steppenwolf is now with the three boxes there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like...
Or he was showing them. Like, I don't know if Steppenwolf was actually there. I feel like that was, much like we saw the Kryptonian technology,
I feel like
it was like the three-dimensional, right, like a hologram kind
of. How much do you think they're going to address the mother boxes, though, and to what extent are they going to use it and explain it?
Or in the movie?
In the movie.
They describe them as the MacGuffin of the film, so I think they're going to be introduced in that prologue with dealing with those gods, where they, you know, they end up, and then we're thousands of years later in the future, in the modern era.
And then we'll see them in action.
And then in the New Gods refers to, you know, Darkseid and Apocalypse and all this, and, you know, all the mythology that we're starting to crack into here.
For listeners and watchers right now, a MacGuffin is the crux of a movie. It's what drives the story forward, if you don't know. It's the arc in Brave's Lost Ark, the Maltese Falcon. It's just... the thing that drives the whole movie forward. So that's the mother boxes.
So how does the... So that mother box, was that one of the three mother boxes that we saw, like, with Cyborg? Is that, like...
I think so.
The battery up his ass that makes him go, essentially?
He's generated from one of the mother boxes.
So he's got the...
And in that deleted scene, apparently, we see three, right?
Yeah, there's three, in which it's the prologue of Justice League they're talking with, you know... Mankind had one, Atlanteans had one, Amazons had one.
So do you find it interesting that a scene that was so pivotal to what Justice League would become was eliminated from the original theatrical release?
I'll talk about that next week, I think. Once I see the ultimate cut,
cool.
I'll know. It's so tough to see what gets cut and why.
Yeah.
You know? I have a feeling, do you think that the Atlanteans are going to kind of get into the fight... So, sort of separately, like, I feel like, do you think Wonder Woman is going to go to Aquaman? Like, that would make sense, right? Because the Amazonian, do you think that there's, like, a long-standing feud between the two?
Oh, yeah.
So she reaches out, and, like, the first time...
I definitely think that.
Can you imagine the tension between the two of them? Like, just Momoa, the fucking size of him, and her going up against each other? Oof.
Yeah.
God, and there's side note, just, Keeping Up with the Joneses trailer, if you just want to see a quick little bit of Wonder Woman in lingerie, just to... Get you through your
that
day.
That reminded me of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith Part 2, but it looked good.
It honestly looked funny. Like, everybody's reaction to that movie trailer so far has been like, it looks exactly like what you'd expect it to, and I still think it looks awesome.
Mm.
John Hamm
is pretty
funny. Also pretty awesome. We had a bunch of new logos get released this week. I believe Zach.
Was it the licensing convention going on right now?
Yes. This is in Vegas right now.
Now, these are promotional. They're subject to change, but there's Cyborg right there. We have The Flash. We have Green Lantern Corps. Aquaman,
it's
Cyborg,
core.
There's all of them right there. Green Lantern,
They look great.
So,
pretty similar to the ones.
And then the Justice League one we also had with the, not that one.
Still like seeing that fat bat symbol.
It's also a brand new Wonder Woman as well.
Fat bat symbol,
So the Wonder, that looks great.
Good God almighty.
That to me is so classic. That gets me as excited as like, that brings me right back to 1989 when I would just see the bat symbol on the poster and I would just be like, is this happening?
When that movie came out, that didn't know Batman, they just thought, like, what is that, a mouth? Is it opening? People would think it was a giant mouth. They didn't know, and I think that was the great thing back
then.
That's
really funny.
Did any of them irk you at all? Did you dislike any of these logos?
Not particularly, but it's interesting to see Cyborg still up there, in that if anybody was kind of doubting that they've hedged their bets and they're going to do a full Titans movie or anything like that, it looks like that Cyborg is still being planned.
The way they hedged their bets is they're going to put Flash in it. And it'll be like a buddy movie.
But do you think Cyborg's going to be in the Flash movie?
I don't know. I think...
Is the Cyborg movie filming that far after the Flash?
Yeah, I think Cyborg is even after Justice League 2, I think.
Did you get the poster with actual Gal Gadot?
She's like turning her back?
Yeah.
That was a license. It wasn't a movie poster.
It didn't feel like a movie poster,
but
yeah.
But she looks great.
It was a good post.
Yeah, I think
it
was one of those... I had trouble dragging photos.
I'll throw it up on my Twitter for you guys later today.
All right, very good deal. So those are all up there. Also,
Justice League stuff this week. We're
talking about logos, let's talk about posters, because Suicide Squad just released a ton of new posters,
man. I am waiting for Roxy's opinion.
They have a definite color scheme going on here. I keep going back to like Mexican Day of the Dead, but it's not that. It's pastel, but it's got that kind of...
Where's the cereal one?
Yeah, yeah, where's the cereal one?
I love the cereal one.
I gotta tell you.
I know you didn't. Tell me. I don't know why. I saved it all week. I go, why? Okay. Didn't you like the cereal one? You know what these all look like to me?
Guys.
And I've not done this from experience.
Roxy Stryer on the cereal poster.
She's got something to talk about.
Yeah, we gotta pull up the cereal poster.
Let me just say this while we're pulling up. Oh. All these posters in the field for them, and I've not done this, so I can't speak for you, but it just seems like acid trippy. Like, I think in the coolest way.
Well, I can tell you from
somebody has not tripped on acid enough times to know that this does not.
I've never so
feel
I don't.
Like an acid
it
trip.
It doesn't.
This feels like a cluster F to me.
What you talking about?
I gotta tell the individual posters not as much. This, when I looked at it, I was like,
I love it.
I really think that I could have made this in 13 seconds.
What? You know what's really interesting?
No.
It looks like it's more marshmallows than actual oat-based cereal product. Yeah. And usually you get a little bit of the cereal.
This is
just all the marshmallows.
Goodness.
All the goodness.
I don't think this is part of an nutritionally balanced breakfast.
I couldn't even read what it said at first. It hurts my eyes. I have to tell you, I really, really don't like this poster.
Okay, Grandma.
And then what is the, we need them bad? We need them bad? Is that our, what was the one that I hated so much?
Worst heroes ever.
Yeah, worst heroes ever. All right, so we need them bad, better than that. But just the whole way.
It's a little bit of a play on words, right?
Yeah.
You know,
we need them badly. Also, yeah. We need them to be bad. Yeah, I like that better.
That's kind of cool.
But the image to me, oh my God, my eyes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be negative. I'm so excited for this movie.
Marshmallow
This marshmallow poster was not. I think the font choice was poor. I think that it's hard to read. The color scheme, the whole thing.
A lot of people in the chat room disagree.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure. Everybody I've seen likes this poster.
What did you think then about the one that's kind of like the mushroom cloud? That's the LSD trip thingy that I was looking at.
This is the only one I've had a problem
with. Can I ask you guys a kind of a serious question? I just recently finished my box of Batman v Superman cereal. I was eating
it's still
for a while.
Good?
No, like from this year, this movie. Yeah, I had it. Do you think that they're going to make the cereal, or is Suicide Squad too adult themed, too much gun violence to make it into a cereal?
Yeah, no way. They're not putting suicide on a cereal box.
And especially given all the climate with all the gun violence that's been plaguing us for the past like 10 years. Are you going to be careful? I know we've already seen toys and everything.
I could see them doing something like that.
Yeah.
Because we know that they've said there's going to be a huge presence at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Potential screening is happening.
And the tagline is, if you have one too many bowls, the back of your head explodes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think, yes, I saw somebody say
that. What I just love about this poster is they're doing something different. They're not doing the typical hero pose cut out Photoshop, stick them all randomly weird placed together. I think every one of the posters has been different.
Retro in the chat just said, cereal boxes look like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah, like, what are we doing here?
I'll never complain about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That was in Smith's contract.
Yeah, right? So here's the thing. Snyder working on a project with Geoff Johns. Could be a secret. This is on JoeBlow.com. People are speculating it could be a Watchmen series. He says he's not allowed to discuss things any further. But he claims he's working on... Actually, I'm sorry. Geoff Johns claims he's working on a project with Snyder.
Well, it was Snyder, actually. Snyder, the way I heard it, yeah. So Snyder was talking, and people obviously asked him about Geoff Johns and his place. You know, they were probably trying to get some scoop about, you know, was Geoff Johns just, you know, imposed upon you? And he's like, no, he's been part of the process forever. Yeah. And he's like, we get along great. In fact, we're working on a project in a very staged sort of way that oh, I can't talk about it. I mean, come on. Like, they wanted to get it out there. Now, I want to ask you, and I want to ask you guys out there, if you feel better about Justice League, and I fully believe that he's not directing Justice League 2, are you cool with Snyder and Geoff Johns working on a project, and what do you think that project's going to be?
Depending on what it is, sure.
Do you think they would do a Watchmen? I mean, I just can't see them doing a Watchmen movie. No. I just don't see where the demand is for that.
Because I read that article, and they had talked about it, but I'm curious if that was before he did the movie, when they were thinking of avenues to do Watchmen. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's do a TV series.
Or Minuteman. If you've read Watchmen, there's a lot of material that a lot of people skip. Just a lot of just written dense material.
I skip the Black Freighter stuff all the time.
Well, not just the Black Freighter stuff. I'm talking about all, like, the original Night Owls, talking about the Minutemen, his autobiography, all that
Under
stuff.
The Hood.
I think it would be a cool series.
It would definitely look good. No, I think it could be a great series, but...
The old Minutemen?
Is the demand there? And I mean, like, are people really going to get excited about it? I mean, HBO could do it better than anybody. Don't
you
get me wrong.
You want to talk about deconstructing your heroes. That's Watchmen. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but the thing is, but Watchmen doesn't deconstruct Batman. It gives you an analogous character.
He wanted to do are popular characters, but DC is like, nah.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
He wanted to do. I mean, Blue Beetle, Night Owl is Blue Beetle. Question is, Rorschach is Question.
Right.
You know, and these are back when they wanted to write them. These were big characters. You know, Captain Atom, it turned into Martian Man, Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. So he wanted to deconstruct the big guys, but DC and Charleston Comics were like, nope. And he's like, all right, well, I'll create my own.
Well,
so, I mean, you could tell Night Owl is Blue Beetle. The ship and all that.
The introduction to Dr. Manhattan to the DC mythology with Rebirth, add fuel to this fire.
And Rebirth, they have made a concentrated effort. We talk about it, it's all here in Burbank now. Johns is overseeing everything. And it does feel like it's all becoming cohesive.
Right, it makes you think that there has to be a reason.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to do that. That there's a reason that they're slowly going to, like, thread the needle with this Watchmen stuff over the next few years.
And we know Justice League did not make a billion, and they wanted to make a billion. But almost under $900 million.
No, Justice League didn't come out. Dawn of Justice, you mean.
Yes. Under $900 million, it made a profit.
It's a success.
So they still
Plus, don't forget, people are going to buy the Ultimate Cut. It's also going to bring in some money.
Yeah.
So. Listen, and also here.
A lot of money, actually.
Even if you guys are super anti-BVS, I was pretty anti-BVS, you can't deny the fact that Zack Snyder makes beautiful films. I mean, just like from frame by frame.
You said that from the beginning.
It's always gorgeous. All I ever wanted was there to be more support from a long-term story point of view. Just like how when a comic book company like DC or Marvel or Wildstorm or anybody, you have writers, but then you have story group editors, then you have editors-in-chief, you have people just constructing a long-form story. That's how these are done. And I never thought that Snyder was the guy to be making all the story.
And no, right. Just hearing my last cap on this whole thing that came out this week is just the fact that feeling what I'm feeling and how much I have loved Man of Steel, BVS, I've loved... The first time I saw it compared to the fifth time, I loved it more my fifth time. So I'm,
that's good?
But and when we finally see Justice League, I think it's going to be a trilogy that's just going to be from start to finish. You see this journey of these people. So I'm so... This has done nothing but get me more excited for Justice
League. Speaking of Justice League, if you want to check out a cool article on ScreenRant.com, it explains as much as you possibly could ask for about the Atlanteans if you want to check that
out. Did we talk about the actual Justice League logo?
Yeah, well, when we were talking logos, I threw it out there with the star, but yeah.
Did we actually look at it? I just want to say that logo does look awesome. I know a lot of people have been responding to it. Like, it's cool.
I love
this. Everybody seems to like it.
I want that t-shirt.
To me, it's just the black and white.
Did Affleck tweet this first or Instagram this first?
I think he looked for permission. He's like, can I tweet it? And they're like, yeah, go ahead.
It was on his Twitter for sure,
I just think it's almost like the Suicide Squad. When they started putting color to it, it needs to have a little more color. Like,
yeah.
I like the font. I like the star. For some reason, the star, single star by itself is reminding me of Red Star, the Russian superhero Iron Man from DC Comics.
All right, guys, we'll get back to the show in just a second. But first off, we got to thank our sponsors because, hey, we got to keep the lights on, got to keep those doors unlocked. We got to talk about Blue Apron, okay? Because, look, we all want to eat healthy. We all want to be healthy. Not all of us know how to do it, though. Well, here's the deal. Blue Apron, not all ingredients are created equal, all right? They give you fresh, high-quality ingredients, make everything taste better. And trust me, when you eat well, you feel better. You have more energy. You don't need to rely on Starbucks $9 coffees or whatever garbage they try to give you. If you eat well, you're going to have a lot of energy. And that's what Blue Apron does. And it's only $10, less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes and pre-portioned ingredients to make everything that you need, but also make it delicious at the same time, right? So you got to cook with incredible ingredients, and that's what Blue Apron does for you. So whether it's Japanese ramen or even wild-caught Alaskan salmon or heirloom tomatoes, or they bring you everything. Everything you're looking for, it's the best quality ingredients you could ask for, right? New recipes are created every single week by their culinary team. They're not repeated within a year, so you're always going to keep it fresh, keep it fun. They customize your recipes based on what you like. So if you hate red onions like me, guess what? You're not going to have to deal with red onions. I hate you so much, red onions, by the way. Otherwise, but they give you a whole bunch of good stuff. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. Every meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe, and it can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So here's the deal. This week's menu, you get your first three meals free. Go to blueapron.com/DCMovieNews, and you get your first three meals free by signing up. You're going to love how good it feels, going to love how it tastes to have these incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Real simple, blueapron.com/DCMovieNews. Blue Apron, yo. It's a better way to cook. Well, with that said, I think it's about time for...
For what?
What? There's no other news this week.
Nope.
It was only this news. Oh, boy. People really did not like this segment without you last week, Roxy.
DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV Time.
And of course, shout out to at M Volmar Music, our buddy Matt Volmar, who put that song together. Roxy, so much to talk about.
People did not like you and I singing it full, the whole song last time.
I thought we were trying to honor
her. It was tribute to the Crown Jewel.
So let's start with this because we don't have that much time left. New Vixen has been cast. We talked about the fact that there will be Vixen coming to Legends of Tomorrow, but we didn't know who it was. The new Vixen is an actress named Macy Richardson Sellers, who actually comes over from CW's The Original. She played this character named Rebecca, who was also played by Claire Holt, but then when she changed bodies, she went into this girl. She's a rock star.
First we're the Originals, and then we became the New Originals, and then we thought, and then the Originals quit, and then we thought, what's the point?
At first we became the Originals, and then we went
I just feel so
that's a Spinal Tap quote, and it's way better.
I just feel for the Mega Lynn. It just sucks, because she's working. I mean, yes, she's working, so she couldn't go do it, but it's just like, from an actor, like, I put myself in that position, like, what if I finally booked a TV show, a DC character, and then I can't do it anymore because my schedule. I was like,
I get it, but I don't feel bad because she's working and this character, actress is awesome.
And she's a previous.
Do you guys think
CW takes care of their own and they'll bring her back for something else because she was great.
They do take care of
their own. Can I ask you, do you think that this character works better on a show like Legends than on Arrow?
It's the DC universe now.
They wouldn't be able to keep her on Arrow if they didn't get the same actress.
Yeah, because it's they're going to the past to pick a different girl that owned the totem.
Yeah.
The only thing I think is a little weird is,
I just mean the supernatural nature. It seems like with all the new casting on Arrow, they're trying to go back to more vigilante street level stuff on Arrow and get a little bit away from the Constantine magic stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, to me, it kind of makes sense it would be more a Legends character.
It does fit a Legends.
And I appreciate that they're doing that. And yeah, it's not my favorite thing.
Have they said she's going to be a descendant of Maury McCabe?
I don't know if they specifically said, but...
Is that part of the mythology?
Is African-American as well?
Yeah, she is.
That was an interesting choice. Yeah, that they both went, you know, of the same...
She's like the hottest.
So they, I mean,
yeah, she is. Just
I don't
ridiculous.
Want to say they look similar, but they have that same striking. Yeah,
I mean, they're both
look.
Gorgeous looking,
gorgeous ethnic women.
Yeah.
So, I hope there's a lineage there. I'm saying,
gorgeous ethnic women. The title of our next album,
yes,
they put out.
Yeah, let's.
But Megalyn, I thought she was.
We have more
beautiful.
Casting stuff going on. I want to get your guys' opinion on this.
Please
one.
Do.
Which is Linda Carter.
Yeah.
Who's coming back.
You gotta think that if you get cast in a DC show, that is your best opportunity for job security when you're like down the road past the prime, because this is just what they keep doing. They keep bringing it back. I can't get enough of looking at Linda Carter.
Gosh dang amazing.
You know, I got into a little bit on Facebook with someone the other day about this.
I have to just say though, she was cast in Supergirl as the president. So
yes,
you continue.
Sure.
That was it. I just wanted to let people know
POTUS.
Before we went. Yeah, it's
POTUS.
POTUS.
Not FLOTUS.
People post a picture on Linda Carter, and again, maybe it's people with their Christopher Reeve, but they give such crap to Gal Gadot and skinny, and I'm like, Linda Carter's beautiful, but that's her breastbone you're seeing there.
Yeah.
She was never huge, you know, so just, I'm like, when people love one thing, but they bash the other thing for no reason when they're very similar,
I think people's point, and again, not necessarily mine, but people's point with that was that we have come so far as women, and there are women that are buff and ripped, and that is sexy now, too, and back then maybe wasn't considered as sexy.
Somebody in the chat room is saying that Richardson Sellers will be playing Amaya Jue, grandmother to Echikunwoke's Mary Jue Maccabee.
Thank you.
I didn't understand any of the words that just came out of my mouth.
Twitter chat. So it is a descendant. That's awesome. I love that.
Cool. That's
the
great.
Medallions passed on.
That's great. Let's continue with some casting news. We also have a new Poison Ivy. So
yeah, she ages. She's aging quick.
So we have...
She's going to go through some...
So this is on Gotham, by the way. We already had a Poison Ivy.
Named now Ivy, which is weird.
Named Ivy. Now we've recast a girl named Maggie Jiha. Who is gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
So she's going to go through a transformation, I think.
But
the exact quote is, following an encounter with a monster from Indian Hill, Ivy Pepper finds herself reborn and one step closer to the DC villain she's destined to become. Poison Ivy, now a 19-year-old woman who's harnessed the full power of her charms, has her sights set on Bruce Wayne.
The monster of puberty, maybe.
Mike, why does this? Why do you have such a visceral... Like, what's
because
going on?
Now she's 20 years old, Bruce is, what, 12? And now this is Poison Ivy?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
She's so pretty.
Do you think she's going to change her name to Pamela at some point?
Why? I mean, she's gorgeous. Oh, my God.
I know.
My feeling on Gotham is now I almost want it to go for more than 10 years and let this kid become Batman.
But then all his villains are going to be old people.
He deserves it.
Yeah. Then I'll have to
we'll recast all of them too.
Back to be younger.
Yeah. It's like, how do you just...
Okay, another new casting.
I want to like that show. I do, guys. I really want to like that show. But everything that happens, I'm just kind of like...
I can't really speak to it. I have 10 episodes in the chamber. I can't get excited about watching it.
I want to like it.
So let's move on to Arrow for a second. I know you had mentioned it before, but you guys remember this past season we saw a Black Canary impersonator. That actress, whose name is Madison McLaughlin, is actually coming back and featuring her as Artemis. So she tried to be Black Canary, didn't work out for her. Now she's...
She was like she was a copycat, a Black Canary copycat.
Is it the same character, though?
You know, it's the same actress, Johnny, same character.
Johnny, Zeno Hour wants a birthday shout-out from you.
Artemis.
Zeno Hour, happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, that's what's
Never
going.
Never said I didn't do anything for you.
That's what's going on there. go ahead.
We're on Arrow real quick. Amel either tweeted when Arrow is getting a new costume season 5.
Oh, cool.
And they think it'll probably be Comic-Con released. Like they
Doesn't
did
he always
year.
Get a costume?
Well, it's last of season 4 was the big sleeveless change.
Right.
This year it's going to be another change for him.
Awesome. Speaking of tweeting things out and finding things out that way, I loved when Grant Gustin tweeted out finally saying Flashpoint. I think Johnny was more upset with his grammatical error in this one.
Well, no, apparently it is called.
He writes, what? Flashpoint, this is not drill. And you wanted an before.
This is not a drill.
Yeah, I mean, I was assuming
it's
that's
true. It's not drill. This is not a drill.
This is not a drill.
But
right, he's been in Canada too long.
Can I ask you guys
long.
This? Flashpoint, like, Flash has pretty much done Flashpoint all season with them going to... They go to the different world where it's the same people with different... Their personality... Different people are different things. That is Flashpoint. He meets Batman, but it's Thomas Wayne, not Bruce Wayne. He meets Jester, the Joker's daughter. It's all these characters that are kind of like he's used to, but different. That's what he's been doing. So, or the big thing is the Atlanteans versus the Amazons, which they can't do.
That's not going to happen, yeah.
So what are they doing with Flashpoint? What...
Well, he's just gone back completely, so they needed a way to justify how they were going to handle that situation.
Okay. I'm on board. The show's great. So
that he doesn't wipe out everything that's ever happened.
I'm giving him credit for some of the castings. I mean, they're not casting, like, huge names. I'm looking at Maggie Gyllenhaal here.
Gyllenhaal.
2,300 Twitter followers. Facebook page is, like, 9,000. Like, she's not, like, she's relatively new, doesn't have a huge
looking
resume.
For fresh faces.
So she must have, had a great audition.
They
so.
Either do that. They like to cast fresh faces, or they cast their own people who are on the originals, moving them to a different CW show, things like that. CW does a good job.
There you go.
People are Vampire Diaries.
Do you think that because they're doing Flashpoint, it's not going to cross over with Arrow so much?
We definitely know that we already are going to have that
four episode cross.
And I do think.
I think it's going to be like last season.
But Arrow's whole season is not going to be turned on its head because of Flashpoint.
No. Well, I'm a little nervous about it. It depends on when we pick back up. At what point we're picking back up, but. Essentially, Legends could be tossed on its head. Arrow could be tossed on its head. Now, Supergirl, even if he went back, then he never could have gone there and helped Supergirl.
It's going to be interesting to see how we bring Supergirl into the same universe and if that's an ongoing thing. Because clearly, based on last season of Supergirl, they're not. So what's going to happen there? I'm really interested to see how they kind of bring it all together in a Days of Future Past-y kind of style.
Right, absolutely.
Like, are they just going to do something, some event, the crossover, and then there's going to be a new status quo on the other side of it? And then that's going to be established now we're all in the same world.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
These are the questions.
And you guys also, for our last piece of TV news, Sci-Fi greenlit Krypton.
Yes. I'm on board. I read the breakdown for the characters.
Are you going to do a trailer voice like Johnny?
I can't do a trailer voice like Johnny. Can
you? You could.
Do it.
No, so wait, what is the breakdown? Did you read the breakdown? Do you have it?
It's no characters that we know. There's no Zod. There's no Jor-El.
It's got like the grandfather, the uncle.
Yeah, they're all the descendants. Mm-hmm. It sounds interesting.
Or the ancestors.
But people, yes. Yeah,
it
people
takes
were
place
saying,
decades before Krypton.
My friends and I were talking about Facebook. You know, sci-fi nowadays is not what it used to be. If this was Krypton on Sci-Fi Channel back when they were doing Battlestar Galactica, I'd be all on board. But
so
this sci-fi channel we have today is not that sci-fi channel. So it's... And David Goyer, to me, is hit or miss. He did Batman Begins, but he's also done Blade 3. So it's like... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm excited
about... Da Vinci's Demons.
I've always wanted a Krypton story with Russell Crowe and Michael Shannon. Their history. I think that would have been... That's a story I want to see.
Yeah, wow, that'd be great. Yeah, I don't think it would happen.
No, that would be and even Russell Crowe was like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Because that Krypton that they did in that Man of Steel is still today, I think, is phenomenal.
Mm. There we go.
But there we go.
Is that TV time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was really. Oh, and the one other thing. Sorry, TV time.
Go on. What are you talking? I gotta get something.
Yeah. One other thing for TV time would be that there's another episode of Preacher.
Yeah.
How's it going? Is it? Oh,
I'm digging it. The ending was a little
drop down there.
The ending was creepy.
The first episode, in my opinion, was the best. So we've had four episodes. I don't think we're going downhill. I think they've made a deliberate decision to go very slow, as opposed to the comics, which are fast and they're happening and they're gross and they're weird. And every single day you turn the page and it's like, what? This is extremely slow, and and people are still really liking it. But
yeah, I'm in love with Ruth Negga. She is just incredible.
I go off of you for this show because I don't watch it. And the people that follow you and tweet with what you respond, and it seems so high, and now it's trickled.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you, but the people that through our Twitter group, it doesn't have the buzz.
I will tell you, when you know we started, we've got a lot of people in the chat, all of the buzz, people tweeting about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I do the AfterBuzz show. It was one of the number one trending things on Twitter, the number two. Yeah. Now by this week, it wasn't in the top 20 things trending.
I gotta say, I kind of agree. Like, I still enjoy the show very
I still
much.
Enjoy
I'm
it
enjoying
too.
The show, but it
I
is not it. Like.
It'll
it's,
be a
it's already become
show,
feeling yeah. very separate to me because it's like they're dealing with so much of this stuff, just like this Voice of God stuff and like slowly rolling that out when it's like, yeah, the thing that was exciting about the book is that it was this road trip, Rock'em Sock'em, like basically almost changing genres every couple of episodes. Like you didn't know what the F was going on.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
But they picked up a story that's
what
way
about Jackie
later.
Earl Haley on the last episode? That was great. The stuff with him in church, like that was really
moments,
cool. Like,
there are moments that are freaking fantastic.
I wouldn't say it's garbage, Omar thinks.
Definitely
but,
not
I mean,
garbage.
Omar,
I like the show.
Omar.
I like the show, and I think if they pick up the pace, then it's going to be amazing because I love the characters that they're creating.
This is definitely a binge watch show, then, where it's like you can get it all.
I think that was a mistake they made. I think they made it as a binge watch show. I think they made this as a Netflix show.
Oh, but because it's episodic, they can only release it weekly.
Yeah.
Like Daredevil, it goes through and then it goes this, and it's like, but you watch it all.
Some people are saying it could get canceled. It's like got half the viewers of the first episode.
If this
it's 1.4, yeah.
A 10 episode Netflix, I think I would be loving it.
Television right now is this interesting struggle going on between binge watch and like regular network episodic.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's
interesting.
TV itself is kind of a struggle.
Are we done with TV time?
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention this is something that I picked up the other day. I don't know if you guys heard Paul Dini when he was on Fat Man on Batman a while back, but he opened up about something that was incredibly personal to him that happened when he was writing Batman the Animated Series. And if you're watching this show, I'm sure you're a fan of Batman the Animated Series. So he was really violently mugged and beaten, and it really turned his whole life on its side.
When was that in his life?
It was in 1993, I think.
So
this
right
happened.
When he did the animated series?
Yeah, it was like this happened right when they were working on the script for Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, wow.
So I picked up this book the other day. It's called Dark Knight, A True Batman Story, but Dark Knight with an N. And it's Paul Dini, first person, working through this incident. And you have a lot of the characters of Batman's Rogues Gallery and Batman himself actually participating as he tells this autobiographical story. The other night, I got it after seeing the movie The Lobster. I picked that up and I went to
a
bar.
Oh my God, we
got to
talk about the movie.
Yeah, that movie is crazy. But then I read this, and I just read it from cover to cover. It's a great read. It's put out by Vertigo. It just came out, and it's a really interesting story that deals with Batman while it's not in a world where there is Batman, but what if, you know, where he should have been.
That's interesting.
Amazing.
Definitely check this out. It's a great, great read.
Cool. Here we go.
Yeah.
With that said, Roxy, you got to go.
Yeah, I do.
So let's all put ourselves over. Adam Gertler, go.
Hey, you guys, you can find me anywhere on Twitter, Instagram, at Adam Gertler. I'll tell you real fast, tonight I'll be in the final round of the Emerging Artist Competition at Rusty's Surf Ranch.
Woo-hoo!
The Freedom Ledges go on at 9:30 p.m. Check that out if you can. Man vs. Child, Chef Showdown, comes back to the FYI channel on June 30th with new episodes.
Hooray!
That's like... Oh, also, I might be going to Comic-Con... hopefully tangentially involved with the film Sausage Party. As you know,
hey!
I make
that's
sausages.
Awesome.
Hopefully
that's
I have some more stuff.
Great.
to comment. Yeah. There might be some really, really cool stuff going on. There may be a party that I'm helping to host. I probably have said too much already, and I will talk to you more when I have more details.
There we go, Roxy.
Good. We'll be excited to have you there. Mike and I are definitely going. Johnny will figure out a way to smuggle you in. There. Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. After this, go to thetomorrowshow.com. I'll be on at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And we're doing some really cool stuff tonight. And also, TV Fights on Tuesdays, 4 p.m. on Screen Junkies.
Mike Kalinowski.
At Mike Kalinowski. You can find me here at Character Corner. If you guys have questions about Steppenwolf, Mother Boxes, I've already covered those. We're working on a huge Suicide Squad blowout, 11 characters in that. And also, there's been a ton of casting for all the DC shows that we're going to get into, so you'll be primed and ready to go for the fall.
That is right. I'm at Jay Quasto, JLOComedy.com. The Wrestling Compadre Slamcast is officially moving to Fox Sports next week. I know we have a lot of crossover fans that like pro wrestling as well.
Awesome,
that are in chat. So please tweet your excitement at Fox Sports at us to let you know, let them know that how excited we all are. It's really cool. Other than that, big charity show next Wednesday, Hollywood Improv. Regular Hero, my foundation's having another comedy show to raise money for kids and their families. So if you're in Los Angeles, hit me up and I'll tell you how to get tickets. With that said, we are at DC Movies SK. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
May the Speed Force be with you.